Today I will chair the meeting. I'm going to call the meeting of ACAT for April 26, 2021 to order. Our chair, Ms. Teresa Brenner, is out of town, so I'll chair for today. The first thing I'd like to do is get a motion to approve the agenda, if at all possible. Anybody there?
So moved.
Can I get a second?
A second.
It's been moved and seconded properly that the agenda be approved. Any opposed?
This is Wygoda. Just for the minutes, can we indicate who made the motion and who seconded?
For the agenda?
Yeah, for every action item, can we just...
All right. Jane made the motion, Brenda Pollan seconded.
Okay, great.
Okay, any opposed? Hearing none, then the agenda is approved. We'll move to the action items, and I'm asking for a motion for our February 22nd, 2021 minutes. I hope everyone has seen the minutes, but could I get the minutes approved from our prior meeting with any additions or changes?
This is James, so moved.
Second, can I get a second?
Brenda Pollan, second.
It's been properly moved and seconded that we accept the minutes from the February 22nd, 2021 meeting. Any opposed? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. We will now move into the amendment for our 2021 UPWP, and that's Unified Planning Work Program. And if I'm not mistaken, Mark should be handling that. Is he here?
That's correct. Can you hear me?
Excellent.
Okay. This is a simple amendment to move the study, the State Route 307 corridor study, from the unfunded illustrative special studies section to the funded portion of the Unified Planning Work Program. We were able to secure the funding contract with GDOT earlier this year, and we're ready to kick off the study. So now we simply need to update the UPWP to reflect that the study is funded. The study was already prioritized by the Core MPO board last June when they added it as an illustrative study. So it's non-controversial, but procedurally we need to have it in the funded portion of the work program. So the action that we would be requesting from the ACAT committee today would simply be an endorsement to the Core MPO board for the UPWP amendment.
So, can we get someone to, Sally, I need to make have a motion to endorse it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, can I get someone to make a motion that we endorse the UPWP?
Now, this is the amendment that you're endorsing first.
Yes, the amendment.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, everybody don't rush in at one time now.
I just want to mention that Asia is a voting member for the ACAT, so Asia, you can make the motion. So
okay.
If needed. Okay, I wasn't sure if I should jump in or not, but okay, I'll do it. I motion to endorse the UPWP amendment.
Can I get a second?
This is James, I'll second.
It has been motioned and seconded that we accept endorse the UPWP amendment. Any opposed? Hearing none, we approve the endorsement of the UPWP amendment. The next thing on the agenda is that we talk about the draft for the UPWP. Mark, you'll handle that as well?
That's correct. I'm pausing just a second to share my screen. Can everyone see the slide that says draft 2022 UPWP?
Yes.
Okay. I'll just go over this briefly. I'm having trouble advancing slides here. There we go. The draft fiscal year 2022 Unified Planning Work Program is the proposed core MPO staff work program for the fiscal year 2022. That's the year that begins July 1st of 2021. It details the staff budget and the work projects that the MPO staff will undertake in support of the federally mandated 3C, or Continuing Cooperative and Comprehensive Transportation Planning Process. The document covers funding, staff work, and budget for each task. The core MPO staff activities are supported by primarily two federal planning grants, the FHWA PL grant and the FTA Section 5303 planning grant. Both grants require 20% local match. The MPO membership dues make up most of this local match, but GDOT has been good enough to us to provide half of the local match for the FTA Section 5303 grant. These are funds that can only be used for planning, and any funds that we do not use in a given year are forfeited. They do not roll from one year to another as they once did. So the total funding for fiscal year 22 proposed is $628,420. Of that, $450,000 roughly comes from the FHWA PL grant, and $178,000 comes from the FTA Section 5303 grant. Discretionary PL funds is another funding option that we have. I mentioned that if we don't spend all of our money in a given year, they are forfeited, but they don't go away entirely. GDOT pools those funds at the statewide level. This involves all of the MPOs in Georgia except for Atlanta. They play a slightly different set of rules, largely because of their size. There is currently a balance available of about a total of $4 million, but they try to reserve $3 million of that for transportation plan updates. It is a competitive selection process to go after the discretionary funds. We can apply in spring and fall. The plans and the studies must be in the MPO's UPWP, and that's reflected in the amendment that we just went over before this item. That was a competitively funded, that was a special study that we went after these discretionary funds for. So we first put it into the UPWP, but it wasn't funded, so we put it in as an illustrative project. When we got the funding, we came back, and now we're in the process of amending it into the funded portion. The prioritization criteria for the discretionary funds largely favor the MPO required planning products. But having said that, there's probably even larger number of awards that have gone to non-required plans and studies. At the end of the day, though, they do contribute to the development of the MTP. Applications for the funding are screened by GDOT and Federal Highway Administration staff, and awards are approved by a majority vote of the attendees at the PL Funds Review Committee meeting each spring and fall. This money also requires 20% local match. There's also, in addition to the PL discretionary funds, there's a smaller pot of discretionary FTA Section 5303 funds that are available each year. Rather than being in the orders of magnitude of millions of dollars, it's more in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it is essentially funds that are left over after the formula distribution to the MPOs. So that can go toward plans and studies that are in the MPO UPWP. In the past, we have requested and gotten discretionary planning funds to help CAT. We plan to do it again in 2023, but this year We do not have any discretionary request. Again, this funding requires 20% local match. A rundown of some of the discretionary awards we've received recently. In fiscal year 2018, we received discretionary funding for two major interchange studies, the I-16 Little Neck Road interchange and the I-95 Airways Avenue interchange, which is the airport interchange. In fiscal year 2020, we got a discretionary Section 5303 award that was used to help CAT buy some transit planning software and data. In fiscal year 2021, the current fiscal year that we're in, we received a discretionary funding award for the State Route 21 Access Management Study in Garden City, and also for the State Route 307 Corridor Study, which we were just looking at in the previous agenda item. So the development process for the 2022 UPWP is nearing, I guess, its final days, certainly the final weeks. We began way back in October of 2020 with a call for plans and studies. This is a call to all of our member jurisdictions for them to let us know what they would like to see in the UPWP. They can be smaller items that maybe staff takes care of. They can also be these larger planning studies that we get discretionary funding for from time to time. In October of 2020, we brought the proposed transit planning tasks to the core MPO board and advisory committees and reviewed the transit planning tasks. In December of 2020, we worked with GDOT to apply for our FTA Section 5303 grant. That grant had to be applied for way back in December. So between December and January of 2021, staff developed the first draft of the UPWP. That draft was submitted to Federal Highway and GDOT for review and comments on January 8th of 2021. And that draft UPWP was initially submitted in February to the core MPO board and advisory committee's agendas. We did decide to continue that until April when we received substantial comments from Federal Highway Administration on February 12th. In addition, we received further comments from Federal Highway on April 9th. So the UPWP went back under development and it's come back this month for review and approval. And the black text takes us all the way through, things that have taken place up till now. I need to update this slide. The revised draft was published on the MPO website starting on April 2nd. There have been a couple of additional updates since that time. The most recent, I believe, was was the Wednesday evening of last week. There was an update posted. So as we move into the gray text on this slide, this is the future stuff, the stuff we think we know how it's going to play out. But of course, we have no crystal ball, but the way it should work, we hope that the core MPO board will approve the fiscal year 2022 UPWP. We anticipate that that will happen on Wednesday. And assuming that that takes place on schedule, we will go ahead and transmit the document back to Federal Highway Administration and GDOT. We anticipate the Federal Highway Administration will approve the document prior to June 30th of this year, which would enable us to execute our fiscal year 2022 funding contracts with Georgia DOT. The date is to be determined, usually happens just before or just after the beginning of the year, but if we can approve the work program timely this month, we should be in good shape. So a quick look at the priorities for 2022, the staff work priorities. We're going to kick off an update to the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. This will probably be the 2050 MTP. We're going to be updating the congestion management process. We'll be kicking off an update to the MPO's freight plan. Also, we'll be working on the State Route 21 Access Management Study and the 307 Corridor Study that were previously mentioned. We do expect both of those studies to wrap up during the year. They were just kicked off literally within the last couple of weeks, federal highway, beg pardon, the federal certification review recommendations are another focus area of this work program. We did just complete. You may recall that there were was a presentation rather in February at the Core MPO board of the federal review team's findings. Those have been submitted to us in the final report as of March 31st. So happy to report that the Core MPO has been unconditionally recertified for another 4 years. So the next review is going to take place 4 years down the road. 2020 census urban area delineation is going to be a big item that we're going to be looking at towards the end of the fiscal year. That's when the census expected next summer, the census release of the 2020 urban areas, which will affect our funding. It will affect the MPO boundary because our funds come to us through a funding formula through Georgia DOT. The population is significant because it's the biggest single component or determinant of what our funding will be. It will be our percentage of the state's urbanized population. Sometimes, yes.
I know you don't have a crystal ball, but any inclination as to whether our urbanized area is going to change?
I was just about to reflect on that. I mean, it almost certainly will change. I have not seen anything yet that makes me believe it's going to be a drastic change. We had 20 years ago, we had a major shift because with the 20, or I guess the 2000 census, when that came out around 2002, our share of the state's urban population slipped from 6% to 4%. So that was a pretty dramatic reduction in our funding that year. With the 2010 census, that came out around 2012, I believe, not a very dramatic change that time. But back in 2000, if you didn't grow 50%, you lost share. That was what we learned. Yes.
You are aware that today at 3, they are going to announce the census numbers for each state.
Right. I'm aware. The urban area delineation is going to be the, and that'll start to give us a glimpse, and we'll understand, of course, you know, the representation. Say whether we gain a congressional seat,
right,
that sort of thing. But the census urban areas really are what are going to show us, you know, our size standing compared to the other MPOs, which will determine our funding. Very likely the MPO's planning area might have to expand a little bit as areas have developed. But, you know, we'll really just have to wait and see what that looks like because they're changing the criteria this time. In addition to counting people, they're also proposing to count dwelling units. So there are two ways you can qualify for certain urbanized area criteria. It can just be a roof count of rooftops. It can also be by count of people. So, we don't quite know what that's going to look like. Again, not seeing anything yet that implies it's going to be a dramatic change for us, but we'll have to wait and see.
Those numbers come out in the fall, don't they?
We're expecting them in the summer.
Yeah, they said around August 16th.
Well, that's the state numbers, but the more detailed numbers won't come out until around August, September.
Right.
And we'll report back to you as soon as we know something more specific and concrete. But, you know, that is, on the horizon, and we're tracking it. So we'll report back as soon as we know something specific on that. Back to the work program. We have 6 major tasks. They are administration, public involvement, data collection, analysis and forecasting, systems planning and operations. transit planning and special studies, both funded and unfunded. And here's the budget summary table. One thing I wanted to point out is that we are showing the funding for our State Route 307 study and our State Route 21 access management study. We're showing it for illustrative purposes in the 2022 UPWP at the request of Federal Highway, but those funds are actually fiscal year 2021 funds. Mm-hmm. So I think technically they're not required to be shown in the UPWP, and the money is from the previous year, but just to paint the full picture of you know, the resources going into it, I guess it was thought that we should show these funds for a second year. So total budget, and most of the work will be going on this year, so this coming year. So total budget is just over $1 million, whereas a regular formula funded year would be about $628,000 without special studies. And that's all I have. I'll be happy to answer any questions or take any comments.
No one has any questions or comments.
I move that we endorse the 2022 Unified Planning Work Program.
Second.
I second that endorsement, Asia Herndon.
It's been properly moved and seconded that we endorse the draft for the UPWP 2021. Is there anyone opposed? Hearing none, we will approve the endorsement for the draft of the UPWP for 2021. Moving on in the agenda, I believe it's Wicoda should be ready to do the presentation for the 2045 MTP Visioning Plan Amendment.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
Good afternoon. I just want to mention that the 2045 MTP Vision Plan Amendments started back in December when City of Pooler requested two projects to be included in our vision plan, the Pine Barren Road Improvements and Old Louisville Road Improvements. And at that time, their logic was because if any project wants to receive federal dollars, they have to be included in the physically constrained long-range transportation plan and then move into the TIP. But the first step is to include the project into the vision plan, even if the vision plan is not funded. So at that time, we were given the reason that Chatham County might do a TIS blast. So this is the strategic move for Pooler to align the project for TIS blast, and then they can use the TIS blast funds probably as the seed money and for this project, for their projects to receive federal dollars. So instead of just amending those two projects, and we actually talked to the MPO, all the committees, including ACAT, and then eventually the MPO board endorsed the staff to like come back with the full project list, with all the municipalities project list, not only the two projects from Pooler. So instead of amending one project in at one meeting for two projects and then amending another two project in and another, so it just constantly, we want to do a comprehensive project list. So after that, we did receive the compiled project list from all the jurisdictions. I'm just going to show you the projects I'm listing over here, but please remember this project list is still fluid, and we are also not certain whether we're going to have a TIS blast this year. So there might be a possibility that we're not going to pursue this until later, not in April, because this project list is not ready yet. But based on the current project list, this is the projects that we are going to amend. I'll just go by municipality. Bloomingdale, no project, no eligible project. Garden City, we have a Tail Road Improvements, Telfair Road Improvements, and Old Louisville Road Improvements. And then for the City of Pooler, we have a Quaco Pooler Parkway Widening, Quaco Road improvements, South Rogers Street improvement, Pine Barren Road improvements, and Old Louisville Road improvements. For the city of Port Wentworth, we have a Gulf Stream Road widening. And then for the city of Savannah, we have a Montgomery Crossroad Bridge at Casey Canal, a bridge replacement, and Skidway Road widening. Right now, we are still not sure that whether we are going to include operational improvements. So I listed the West Gwinnett Street and the safety signal upgrades, but eventually these might be dropped off. Thunderbolt, no eligible projects identified. Tybee Island, no eligible projects. Vordenburg, no eligible projects. And for the Chatham County, we have a Quaco Road bridge replacement over I-95 and Little Neck Road bridge replacement over I-95 and John Carter Road improvements. Truman Parkway improvements and Islands Expressway improvements, we're still trying to find out whether they need to be included in this project list. So what we want to ask this committee is just to endorse the proposed project list subject to any corrections and changes. But keep in mind that we might not pursue this amendment in April, because at that time, at the last meeting, we thought when all the municipalities gave us a project list, they should be ready and we should be ready. But now it seems like they are still constantly changing their project list. So we might not be ready for April. But if we want to pursue this, so I would just ask the ECAT to endorse what I have just outlined, subject to corrections and changes. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions or comments for Wakoda? Then I'll ask for a motion to approve the endorsement of the MTV plan, visioning plan.
Ms. James, I move that we endorse the 2045 MTP amendments, subject to corrections in the future. And I happen to be buying a house on Pine Barren Road day after tomorrow.
Oh, congratulations. Can I get a second?
Second, Asia Hernton.
It's been properly moved and seconded that we endorse the 2045 MTP amendment. Any opposed? Hearing none, we approve the endorsement for the 2045 MTP amendment.
Thank you.
Next, we will be looking at the regional transportation safety performance targets for 2021. I think that is Alicia. Is she here?
Alicia might need to.
Yes, are
you
sorry.
I'm on mute. Yeah.
Got myself unmuted. Can you all hear me and see my screen?
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. The action item I'm presenting is the 2021 Regional Transit Safety Performance Targets. So the FTA established transit safety performance measures and ruled that certain transit agencies and MPOs must set transit safety performance targets for the performance measures that the FTA established. Transit agencies and MPOs must follow this requirement are the ones that are recipients or subrecipients of FTA grant funds. And transit agencies are required to set their performance targets in their public transportation agency safety plan. And once transit agencies set those targets, they're required to share those with the MPOs. And then once MPOs receive those targets, they have 180 days to set transit safety performance targets for the region. Mm-hmm. To give a further understanding of the difference in the purposes between a performance measure and performance target, I put this little slide together. Safety performance measures are set by the FTA. They are quantifiable indicators used to measure performance or condition, whereas a safety performance target is set by transit agencies and MPOs. They are quantifiable levels of performance or conditions to be achieved. So essentially, safety performance measures help transit agencies and MPOs assess progress towards meeting safety performance targets. So we'll review the performance targets set by FTA. There are four of them. First being fatalities, second, serious injuries, third is safety events, and fourth is system reliability. And to address FTAs for safety measures requires transit agencies and MPOs to set 7 safety performance targets by mode. The first 3 performance measures shown on this table are represented as a total number and the rate per total vehicle miles traveled by mode. And the last performance measure is shown as a mean distance between mechanical failures by mode. So for the target setting process, this is the first time transit agencies and MPOs are going through this process to set performance targets. The Chatham Area Transit is the only transit agency in the Savannah Metropolitan Planning Area that falls under the FTA requirements for setting the performance targets. And CAT developed their safety plan and set their targets and provided those to CORMPO in January 2021. And the CORMPO has until July 3rd, 2021 to set transit safety performance targets for the region. And this table shows the transit safety performance targets that CAT has set and provided to us for 2021. As you can see, there are 4 measures being addressed by 7 targets. And this is a visual representation of the target setting timeline for the Savannah planning area. Once the CORMPO adopts the regional targets, we have until July 20th of 2021 to incorporate those targets in the TIP and the MTP. Setting the transit safety performance targets for the Savannah planning area was coordinated with CAT and GDOT. And since CAT is the only transit provider in the planning area that's required to set these targets, the MPO staff recommending using CAT's targets as the regional targets, because this will also ensure that we have a common goal and a consistency between the two organizations. In terms of updates to the performance targets and the system performance report, transit providers are required to update their transit safety performance targets annually. MPOs are not required to do this annually. Currently, the CORMPO updates the system performance report when new performance targets are adopted. And today the CORMPO is requesting the advisory committees to endorse the proposed regional transit safety targets for the Savannah Metropolitan Planning Area.
Are there any questions for Alicia? Hearing none. Then I'll ask for a motion to endorse the regional transit safety performance targets for 2021. Can I get a motion?
This is Asia Herndon. I motion to endorse the regional transit safety performance targets for 2021.
Can I get a second? Anyone to second? Is everybody asleep? Can I please get a second?
This I'll second Shannon again, the approval of the transit safety tips for 2021.
Thank you. It's been properly motioned and seconded that we endorse the regional transit safety performance targets for 2021. Are there any opposed? Hearing none, we approve and endorse the regional transit safety performance targets for 2021. Thank you, Alicia. Thank you. Alicia, you will be also doing the amendments for the 2021 through 2024 TIP?
Correct.
That will be next on the agenda.
Perfect. So the MPO's short-range programming document known as the TIP is modified from time to time to ensure that updates to projects cost estimates and schedules are incorporated. The MPO has received project updates from GDOT along with new funding and programming information. So this staff report covers those updates to the fiscal 2021-2024 TIP. There are some updates to the existing highway and transit fund revenue projections along with additional funds being added. And there are three proposed highway project updates and three proposed transit project updates. Of the highway updates, the first is the Chevis Road Improvement Project. Chatham County was awarded some lapsing TAP funds and Z301 revenues. The cost estimate for the PE phase has been updated to reflect the changes in funding. The second highway update is a new feasibility study on the Savannah River crossing. GDOT added a scoping phase for this new study, which will help identify strategies for bridge improvements. And there are also updates to lump sum. Two lump sum categories were added, and they include freight operations and rural development. And one lump sum category was removed, and that was construction management. Of the proposed transit updates, there are three. The first being section 5339 of the Capital and Operations Fund. This is a new fund and programming that's currently not in the TIP, and it will be programmed for fiscal year 2021. The second update is the Z950 FHWA Ferry Boat Funds. There are updates to the funding in fiscal year 2021 and fiscal year 2022. GDOT requested some funding, so that resulted in all the funds being programmed for fiscal year 2021. And the third transit update proposed is section 5311, and it's for the capital and operation funds. GDOT provided us with updated cost estimates for fiscal year 2022 and fiscal year 2024. It included with this staff report, all the updated TIP project pages and tables are in Appendix A. And today the MPO staff is asking the committees to endorse the proposed updates we provide in this TAP report to the fiscal year 2021 through 2024 TIP.
Is there any questions or comments for Alicia on the TIP? Hearing none, I'll ask for a motion for us to endorse the amendment for the fiscal year 2021 through 2024 TIP. Can I please get a motion?
This is Asia Herndon. I motion to endorse the amendments to the 2021-2024 TIP.
Can I get a second?
Second.
That's James.
Yes, ma'am.
We have a motion. It's been properly motioned and seconded that we endorse the amendment for the fiscal year 2021 through 2024 TIP. Are there any opposed? Hearing none, then we have approved the endorsement for the amendment for the 2021-2024 TIP. Thank you, Alicia.
Thank you.
The next thing on the agenda is, do we have any status reports? Any agency reports?
I think, are we going to have a agency report from CAT and Life normally?
Bridget, are you there?
Bridget, you're still muted. You'll have to unmute yourself.
I'll mute, yeah.
No, we can't hear you.
Before Bridget makes give us the report, I also want to mention under notices, you will see the CAD project status report, GDOT project status report, and Chatham County project status report, and City of Savannah project status report. So if you are interested in any of those projects, you can open the attachment and see the written reports to see what those projects, where they are in terms of schedule and development. Thank you.
Can you all hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. It's technology. At this time, I don't have any new reports since the last our last meeting. That particular meeting, I did report out that we are currently using Token Transit, which is an application for our customers to use along with our paratransit customers. Anyone that uses Half Fare, they can now download the app on their smartphones and they are able to get tickets through the app right now. So that's the biggest thing that's going on right now. We are still currently working on trying to get our travel training program up and running safely. We had to put that on the back burner when COVID hit last year this time. So we are, at this time, we are taking in-house consultations for our paratransit customers. Before, we were just approving them over the phone, but now we are able to bring those customers in if we need to determine their eligibility for the program. But right now we are just partnering with other agencies to make sure that we can reintroduce our travel training program safely. So as I get new updates on the travel training program, I will definitely report that out to you all. That is all that I have.
Okay, thank you, Bridget. Do we have a status report, an agency report from Life?
Well, this is Shannon Ginn representing Life. As far as I know, there's not any major updates from, I guess, from what Neil had mentioned, I guess, in the last meeting. I do know that, which I don't know if he mentioned from the last meeting, that I believe it was earlier this month that I believe our COVID support funds that we have that we're using, I believe those have been extended all the way through until the end of September of next year. I mean, I'm sorry, of 2022. I don't know if Neil mentioned that at the last meeting or not, but I think it's about the only update that I know of.
Okay. Thank you, Shannon. Is there any other business?
I have a question though for Bridget with the travel training. Do people still have to go for, I guess, the application process to qualify for that training?
Yes, Shannon, that is correct.
But Bridget, please don't forget about Teresa and I.
Not at all. You guys are on the top of the list. You are on the top of the list.
All right. Then we have public participation opportunities. Assuming we have none. Why, Coda, you did make mention of something about the about notices. Do we have any notices and announcements other than what Wycoda has reported?
Under notices, I told you about the agency's status report. So if you're interested in any of those, just take a look. And then also, I think FHW and FTA issued the final certification report, which is also included under notice. This is number 7. So if you open that attachment, you can see the final report. And then the new cutoff dates for the 2021 calendar of meetings. The reason for this is we normally request that all the agencies, if they have an agenda item to submit it to us, for example, TIP amendments, they submitted it to us like 3 weeks before the quorum PO board meeting. But now we would like to extend that to like to 4 weeks instead of 3 weeks ahead. So we want like 4 weeks ahead. So we have extra week because every time we do the agendas, we have 3 levels of approval. So any staff submits an agenda item, I approve it, Mark approve it, and then Melanie, exec director, Melanie Wilson approve it. So we have 3 levels. So that takes time. So we decided that we want extra week to work on these agenda items. So that's why we move the, if you open the schedule meeting of calendars, you can see the cutoff date has been moved by about 1 week.
Okay.
And I think that's about it. And then the next meeting, I think that's the chairman can talk about the next meeting.
Yeah.
And then sign up for neighborhoods. I think that's Asia and the title town, that's also Asia.
Okay.
Asia, you want to talk about it?
Yeah, I think we skipped number 10 though.
Yeah.
The ADA.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Let me share my screen for can everyone see the Amtrak page?
Yes.
Okay, so Amtrak announced that if you were harmed by a lack of accessible transportation services between July 27, 2013 to December 2nd, 2020, you may be eligible to receive a payment from a compensation fund established by Amtrak. And you have to submit your claim by May 29th, 2021.
You said between what years, 2013, what, give me the dates again, please.
Yeah, July 27th, 2013 to December 2nd, 2020.
And you have to file by what date?
May 29th, 2021.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. You're going to do the neighborhood and faith-based organization meetings as well?
Yes, let me actually reshare my
screen. Anybody have any questions about Amtrak? Okay.
You've been riding Amtrak, Pam?
Yeah. Not recently, you know, in the pandemic, but yeah, I am a well-traveled Amtrak rider. I go to New York and back constantly.
Okay, so for Town Talks for Tithe Town, we're currently having virtual meetings for neighborhood associations and churches. So if you're a neighborhood association or a church community that would like to set up a meeting with the people working on the comprehensive plan, which is a plan 2040, email plan2040@thempc.org or call at 912-651-1480 so you can see some of the chapters we finished so far and see if they encompass what they should for the comprehensive plan.
Could you give me the number again, please?
Mm-hmm. 912-651-1480.
Okay. All right. No one has any questions about the comprehensive plan. then who's going to do Tide to Town? Is that you, Asia, as well?
No, we have some representatives from Tide to Town that are going to present.
Is Armand here?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Armand.
Nice to see you, Pam. It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
So I have Denise Grabowski with me.
Wait a minute. There is Asia. I guess that's Amtrak that's still up on the screen.
No, our screens are cleared, Pam.
Okay, all right.
Okay, Asia is starting to share the screen for the presentation.
I stopped it.
Okay, who has the presentation?
Armand, and you said you have Denise with you?
Yes. Denise, do you have the presentation able to share?
I didn't want to move.
There we go. So basically what we hope to do today is to give a brief overview of what Tide to Town is and talk a little bit with you all about our outreach that we've been doing for this walking and biking trail network. So my name is Armand Turner. My official title is the Physical Activity Program Manager, and we'll get going. So working on this is, of course, myself, as well as Denise Grabowski, and Laura Bollock of Barge Design, and Kayla Brown of Bike Walk Savannah, who both couldn't be here today, unfortunately. But we've all sort of teamed up under this REACH grant with the goal of doing the outreach that's needed for the Tide to Town Trail system. And we'll get a little more about that. So REACH is a grant handed to us from the CDC. REACH stands for Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health. The goal of the grant is to work with the low-wealth African-American neighborhoods within Savannah and Chatham County and improve the overall health. So we focus on physical activity, nutrition, and community clinical linkages. I myself work with the physical activity, and the way we improve that is by encouraging people to walk more, bike more, and providing the resources and infrastructure that will allow them to do so. And we'll go to the next. Yeah, and I think Denise will take it from here.
All right, thanks, Armand. Hello, everyone. My name is Denise Grabowski. I'm an urban planner here in Savannah, a company called Symbiosity, and I'm thrilled to be working with Armand and with Healthy Savannah and Coast Georgia YMCA on this initiative. Tide to Town is really all about the community. And this particular phase that we are in is working with each of the neighborhoods, as Armand mentioned, to develop a plan for the neighborhood, by the neighborhood. So we believe very strongly in the importance and the value of integrating the people who live in the neighborhood to ensure that the plans that are developed at the neighborhood level reflect what the neighborhood residents really want to see happening in their neighborhood. And really the goal is to facilitate the development of safe facilities for walking, for riding a bike, however you move around, that you are able to do so safely, that you can access transit, and that these improvements are made at the neighborhood level. So the way that we are going about this is kind of a three-step process. So first, we're going to make new friends. So we work with the neighborhood leaders to identify the best way to coordinate and work with each particular neighborhood. Then we conduct something called a street safety audit. And I'm going to walk through in just a moment what that means in a little bit more detail. And then so that safety audit really helps us to gather a lot of great information, a lot of great data. But we want to make sure that we're using data in the most effective way. And so the last step is to make a plan for each neighborhood. So Tide to Town is a urban trail system, the core route, which is shown on your screen in the dark blue line, is about 30 miles, and it will connect downtown all the way out to the south side of Savannah and all places in between. Much of the route for Tide to Town takes place alongside our existing canals where we already have existing right-of-way. And the other portions of Tide to Town that are not along a canal would be alongside a road, but physically barrier separated from the roadway so that all users feel comfortable using those facilities. The first phase of Tide to Town, we are thrilled, has actually been constructed. This is the Truman Linear Park Trail. Some of you may be familiar. Right now it connects, it goes from Durin Avenue down to Lake Mayer. And these are some images of the trail as it exists today. And a big part of what we're doing is really recognizing that we have inequities in our community right now. We have to be very proactive in addressing those. And so we want to make sure that each neighborhood has the opportunity to identify what suits their needs best, because what might work well for one neighborhood isn't necessarily the same thing that's going to work for the other neighborhoods. And as Armand mentioned, we're really focused in those areas that are the low wealth minority neighborhoods throughout Savannah. So this is a map of the neighborhoods that we are working in initially. The numbers that you see don't reflect any kind of order. It's just to reference the map. Right now, we are working in Edgemere Sackville and historic Carver Village, Eastside Savannah, and then also on the south side, Largo Woods, Quail Forest, and Wilshire Estates. So those are the four neighborhoods that we are working on right now with others to come in the fall and in future years. So it's really important that we think about our trail system, not just as a recreational amenity. It's great for recreation, but it's really much more about providing active transportation for all users, recognizing that not all people own a car, that many people are reliant on transit, and that providing safe access to schools is a high priority for our community. So safe routes to school is something that Healthy Savannah has been working on for many, many years. And Tide to Town is a great connection to be able to improve safe access for walking and biking to school. Transit, I mentioned transit. Transit is another critical connection into Tide to Town. Through Tide to Town, members of the community can access all three of our major medical providers without necessarily having to have a car by walking, biking, and using transit. So at the neighborhood level, we are working with neighborhood residents to conduct what we call neighborhood street safety audits. And these are audits where we basically go out and walk the streets of the neighborhood and identify issues and barriers to safety in the neighborhood. For example, in this center image, you can see that there's an ADA ramp, but because the pavement grade is so high, this is virtually not usable. And so it's not a safe situation. Ms. Pam, do you have a question?
No.
Okay. And then, you know, other barriers such as lack of maintenance and overgrown vegetation. So all of these things are identified through these audits. One of the things we're very excited about is we have the ability now to do these with a smartphone. So we have developed an app specific for this project where anyone can simply take a phone and go out and record the conditions that they see in their neighborhood. For those without a phone or less comfortable using a phone to record the audits, we do also have paper copies is available. So this is our timeline, our tentative timeline. We've started our neighborhood outreach, and we're now doing sessions with each of the four neighborhoods that we're working in right now to be able to hear from those neighborhood residents. We hope to be starting our audits in each of those four neighborhoods this spring, and we'll be conducting those over the next couple of months. Then we will work on the development plan, working with the neighborhood and also working with City of Savannah, the school system, and other community partners, and then come back to each of the four neighborhoods that we're working with right now with a draft plan for their input and review. And then we'll finalize that. And then at the end of the planning process, we will have a prioritized list of improvements that have been identified by the residents, what they think is most important to ensure that they have safe access to the Tide to Town core route and throughout their neighborhood. What comes next? For all of our participants, we have great hats and t-shirts and water bottles. You can see Armand is modeling one of our hats right there. So we are working with the neighborhoods to have team captains in each neighborhood, identifying community events where we can encourage neighborhood residents to come out, and then working again with each of the neighborhoods to identify what works best in their community to identify how to reach out to other residents to get them involved. There's a contact information for Armand, for me. Again, I'm Denise Grabowski. Laura and Kayla were unable to be with us, but we're all four members of the team working together, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here. I know I went through that quickly, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Does anyone have any questions? Well, as we have reached the 2 o'clock hour, and I know some of us have to be in on the next meeting with Scotty, if no one has any questions, we thank Armand and Ms. Grabowski for bringing that presentation to us. And our next meeting for ACAT is on Monday, June 21st, 2021 at 1 p.m. virtually. And with that, I guess I'll just turn it back over to Sally. Sally, is there anything else that we need to talk about?
No, ma'am. That's it. You did great today.
Well, then I guess I'll say meeting adjourned.